Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading this week's San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, July 11th, 2021. I'm narrating on Thursday, July 15th, and I'll begin with the most recent articles. COVID-19 update, a look at San Angelo coronavirus data for July. Tom Green County, as of July 15th, City of San Angelo. 17,076 positive cases reported. 21 new positive cases. Deaths, 316. 201 from Tom Green County and 115 from other counties. 9 currently hospitalized. 110 active cases. Tom Green County COVID-19 Vaccine Tracker by Chastity Lasky, published July 14th. Tom Green County has administered more than 80,698 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine as of July 13th, according to data from the Texas Department of State Health Services. That's up very slightly by 0.9% from the previous week's tally of 79,980 COVID-19 doses administered. In Tom Green County, 33% of people living in Tom Green County are fully vaccinated as of July 13th. San Angelo man sentenced to jail after offering candy to child in kidnapping and assault. By Elena Edgen, published July 15th. A San Angelo man pleaded guilty Thursday morning over a year after a child was sexually assaulted and bribed with candy. About noon, Thursday, July 15th, Cameron James Simmons, 18, attended a plea hearing in the 51st District Court. Simmons has been charged with aggravated kidnapping, sexual abuse, indecency with a child by sexual contact, and indecency with a child by exposure. Simmons pleaded guilty to the 3 charges. In exchange for his plea, the state prosecutors suggested 15 years jail for the kidnapping charge and 10 years each for the indecency charges in exchange for his guilty plea. The sentences would run concurrently. The Honorable Justice Barbara Walther, who retired in 2018, accepted the state's recommendation and sentenced Simmons to the terms. Simmons was credited 159 days, which will go towards his sentence. What led to the teen's arrest? About 8 p.m., May 25th, 2020, Tom Green County Sheriff's deputies arrived in the 400 block of St. Anthony for a reported sexual assault of a child. Investigators learned a child, younger than 14 years old, had been taken unwillingly to a secluded location and touched inappropriately by Simmons, 17 at the time. He told deputies he touched the child and offered them candy in exchange for having the child touch him, records state. He was arrested that day on suspicion of indecency with a child by sexual contact and aggravated kidnapping. In July, an indictment charged him with aggravated kidnapping sexual abuse, indecency with a child by sexual contact, and indecency with a child by exposure. On September 22, 2020, 340th District Court Judge Jay Weatherby found Simmons incompetent to stand trial and had him sent to a Big Spring hospital for at least 180 days. This was done in an attempt to restore him to competency, which appeared to work. In January 2021, Judge Weatherby reviewed an updated report and declared him competent to stand trial. Note, the San Angelo Standard Times uses the singular they-them when reporting child-related crimes to further protect the child's identity. Shannon forges first-of-its-kind pediatric partnership with Cook Children's Hospital and Pediatrics. From Staff Reports, published July 15th. Calling the partnership a first of its kind between Texas pediatric providers in Texas, Shannon Medical Center announced Thursday it was teaming up with Cook Children's Healthcare System and Pediatrics Medical Group, a Mednax company, to enhance neonatal care in the Concho Valley. The three organizations will work together to ensure continuous provider coverage for neonatal intensive care unit, NICU, patients at Shannon, while also sharing innovative best practices and models of care between the hospitals, according to a news release issued July 15th. Almost 2,000 babies are born each year at Shannon Women's and Children's Hospital and the Shannon South Hospital, and an estimated 10 to 15% of all newborns need additional neonatal care at birth, this news release stated. As the first certified Level 2 neonatal facility, special care nursery, in the region, Shannon provides care for those newborns with special needs or requiring additional intervention, the release stated. To help support these infants and the Shannon NICU team, a full-time neonatal physician from pediatrics will serve as the program's medical director and provide day-to-day medical coverage for these patients in the NICU, the release stated. Additionally, the Cook Children's NICU team will work with the Shannon NICU team to provide shared quality guidelines and education for staff on emerging research, including best practices and procedures for care, the release stated. Cook Children's is currently certified as a Level 4 NICU, the highest level that can be achieved by a NICU. Cook's Children has served as a longtime partner in care for many of our local patients in need of access to higher-level specialty care at their facility or through their telemedicine program, stated Shane Plimel, CEO at Shannon, in the release. We are pleased to partner with their renowned program to continue providing neonatal care here at home for our patients, Plimel stated. This unique collaboration will combine the experience of our pediatric providers with Cook's specialty expertise and knowledge, along with having dedicated neonatal specialists on site to provide the best possible care to our tiniest patients. We look forward to advancing neonatal care to the next level for our region. Rick W. Merrill, president and CEO of Cook's Children's Healthcare System, also welcomed the partnership. This unique partnership is a great example of how healthcare organizations can work together to fill a vital need for San Angelo and surrounding counties in western and central Texas, Merrill stated. In addition to providing staff education, we will continue to offer exceptional clinical services and support for critically ill children via our Level 4 NICU, which is the highest level of designation for neonatal care available in the country, Merrill stated. We are thrilled to extend our long-standing partnership with Cook Children's, stated Mike Dwyer, MD, market president for MedNax. For decades, pediatrics and Cook Children's have partnered to provide state-of-the-art neonatal care for the community's most vulnerable infants. We look forward to extending this partnership to San Angelo, where together, pediatrics, Cook Children's, and Shannon will continue our long history of providing high-quality, specialized care for our premature neonates. Pfluger and Darby have the same message to Texas Dems who fled Austin. Get back to work. By John Tufts, published July 14th. Local Republican lawmakers representing San Angelo had a unified message to Democrats in the Texas House who fled the state rather than attend a special session of the legislature. Get back to work. More than 50 Democrats flew from Austin to Washington, D.C. Monday to break quorum and derail GOP plans of passing sweeping changes to election laws, among other conservative priorities. State Representative Drew Darby, San Angelo, expressed his frustration at his Democratic colleagues, denouncing their actions as unfair to taxpayers. When the Texas House of Representatives convened Tuesday morning for the sixth day of the 30-day special session, I was in Austin ready to work on behalf of the people of the Concho Valley in West Texas, Darby stated in an email to the Standard Times. Representative Darby serves House District 72, which includes Koch, Concho, Glasscock, Howard, Erion, Reagan, Runnels, Sterling, and Tom Green counties. Darby says much is at stake for Texans. Nearly all of my Democratic colleagues chose to deny us the opportunity to work on important policy issues when they strategically did not show up for work out of opposition to specific legislation, Darby stated. As part of the special session, Darby filed legislation Friday to increase benefits for Texas retired teachers. House Bill 120 would give retired teachers a cost of living adjustment, COLA, and House Bill 85, filed by State Representative Glenn Rogers, Grayford, would provide retired teachers with a one-time supplemental payment, or 13th check, according to a news release issued Friday, July 9th. Texas Governor Greg Abbott added the 13th check as one of 11 priority items on the special session agenda, the release stated. Abbott has since called for absentee lawmakers to be arrested and cabined inside the Texas Capitol until they get their job done. Without a quorum of members of the Texas House, we cannot conduct business, and Texas taxpayers are left to foot the bill for time wasted, Darby stated. Much is at stake for Texans during this special session. Darby said he and other lawmakers were committed to passing additional benefits for retired teachers, providing property tax relief, and increasing funding for children in foster care, but were unable to do so as a result of the walkout. Democrats have countered their departure from Texas is meant to prevent Republican lawmakers from creating barriers to voting. We will not stand by and watch Republicans slash our right to vote, silence the voices of Texans of color, and destroy our democracy, all to preserve their own power, said Gilberto Hinojosa, chairman of the Texas Democratic Party. If passed, provisions of the voting bills, Senate Bill 1 and House Bill 3, would include banning drive-through voting or casting a ballot from inside a vehicle unless participating in curbside voting due to a disability, boosting ID requirements on mail-in ballots, and banning 24-hour and late-night voting. Republicans argue that voting laws in Texas need additional restrictions to bolster confidence in election results, while Democrats insist the changes their GOP colleagues want would place undue hardship on minority communities. Lawmakers can and should have sincere debates on substantive issues, but it is a great disservice to taxpayers to stop the entire legislative process when disagreements arise, Darby stated. My message to my Texas Democrat colleagues, return to Texas and let's get back to work for Texans. Pfluger says it's time to get back to work. U.S. Congressman August Pfluger, Texas District 11, didn't mince words in condemning lawmakers who fled Austin for Washington, D.C., stating Texas Democrats were behaving as obstructionists after abandoning their responsibility to the voters. Congressman Pfluger serves District 11 in Texas, which spans 29 counties in West Texas, including the towns of La Mesa, Odessa, Midland, San Angelo, Brady, Brownwood, Llano, and Junction. We elect our state representatives to safeguard our elections, not flee the state on private jets to preen for the liberal news media in Washington, D.C., Pfluger stated in an email to the Standard Times. People should see this stunt for what it is. Tell the Democrats it's time to get back to work. Tom Green County Democrats say, we're proud of our fellow Texas Democrats. Some local Democrats in Tom Green County hope state lawmakers take their time before returning to Austin. The Tom Green County Democratic Party supports the Democrats who left Austin to protect all Texans from Republican attempts at eroding voter access, according to a statement the organization released to the Standard Times. A spokesperson for the local party criticized efforts by Governor Abbott and Republican lawmakers in changing how votes are counted and by whom. Tom Green County Democrats are proud of our fellow Texas Democrats for doing everything it takes to thwart the efforts of Republicans to dismantle the voice of the people and hope they are successful in their efforts in encouraging Democrats in Washington to do the same, according to the statement. San Angelo venues filling up with concerts again, by Sydney Walker, City of San Angelo. We are so happy to finally be able to have concerts and events in our venues again. Since the restrictions were lifted from COVID-19, we have been busy keeping up with all of the events at our civic venues. On June 5th, we hosted the second annual He Is Risen concert featuring Lucky Luciano, Kingdom Music, Anthony Hill, Young Bro, and Z. The concert had roughly 1,200 people in attendance. Aaron Watson also graced the stage on Friday, June 11th, with the State Line Band, Morgan Miles, and Scott Haley. The night was perfect for this event, and the fans enjoyed themselves. We have a full calendar of events coming up for the next few months. On July 30th, Texas country artist Parker McCollum will be performing at the Bill Ayler Senior Memorial River Stage. Opening the concert will be Shane Smith and the Saints and Kay Hasty. General and VIP tickets are available at stubwire.com or Blair's Western Wear. Gates open at 6 p.m. with the music starting at 7:30 p.m. Get your tickets soon for this event because they are selling fast. On August 13th, Mercy Me will be performing live at the Foster Communications Coliseum. Opening the show will be Austin French. We are very excited about this event, and tickets have been moving fast. We expect this concert to be sold out by the time the doors open. Doors open at 6 p.m. with music starting at 7 p.m. Tickets are also available at stubwire.com or Blair's Western Wear. On August 27th, St. Joseph's Church is hosting a concert at the Coliseum. This concert features Tejano artist Alida Reina y Avante, Los Combres, La Descendencia, and more. Doors open at 5 p.m. with music starting at 6 p.m. For more information on purchasing tickets, please visit stubwire.com. We hope to see you all at one of the upcoming concerts. San Angelo ISD to offer free meals to all students for upcoming school year, by Elena Edgen, published July 15th. All San Angelo ISD students will have free meals this school year, according to a district news release. Typically, students need to meet income eligibility requirements in order to qualify for free and reduced price meals. However, the United States Department of Agriculture issued guidance which allows SAISD to offer meals to all students at no cost for the 2021-2022 school year without applying for the free or reduced lunch benefit status, according to the release. The income eligibility requirement will likely resume in the 2022-2023 school year, the release stated. Updates on this program will be posted on the district's Facebook and Twitter pages, along with their website, saisd.org. San Angelo Dog Park delays opening due to fence theft. Officials speak on security. By Rosanna Frere, published July 14th. A theft has delayed the reopening of this San Angelo Dog Park again. Replacement of the stolen materials is expected to cost nearly $2,000. According to a post on the City of San Angelo Facebook page, the double gate at the dog park at 3215 Millbrook Drive was stolen over the past weekend. The city will have to reorder more fencing materials, which will add another couple of weeks to the reopening date, depending on shipping time, the post stated. Roger Havlak, City of San Angelo Parks senior manager, said the cost of replacing the fence and the two gates will be nearly $2,000, plus the man hours from parks staff to install it. The funds will either come from our risk management fund or out of my parks general maintenance accounts from the city general fund, Havlak said. This is the second incidence of fence theft at the dog park this summer. Criminals will steal anything they can get their hands on, San Angelo Police Department Information Officer Tina Burks said. Our patrol division stays very busy taking reports, but they are doing the best they can to do extra patrols throughout the city. Havlak said adding surveillance cameras could be beneficial, but would come with complications. It would be very nice to have surveillance cameras in our park systems, but unfortunately, it is cost prohibitive given my current budget, he said. It would also be difficult to know exactly where to place these cameras, since vandalism and theft occurs throughout our parks from the playground to the restroom facilities, basketball courts, and even the open space. If citizens see something odd, such as non-city workers taking down a fence or gates, contact the police non-emergency number at 325-657-4315 or the Parks Office at 325-659-8563. La Esperanza Clinic to give away 300 backpacks to San Angelo students by Rosanna Frere, published July 13th. La Esperanza Clinic will give 300 backpacks to San Angelo students at a Sunset Mall event. The 8th annual Back to School celebration is on Saturday, August 14th, and will celebrate National Health Center Week. The national campaign raises awareness about the mission and accomplishments of America's health centers, according to a news release. The back-to-school celebration is from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. while supplies last, with a backpack and school supply giveaway at the mall, 4001 Sunset Drive. La Esperanza Clinic will provide free backpacks to the first 300 kids in grades K through 5. Then local nonprofit organizations and other businesses will help fill those backpacks with some school supplies. Sponsors include Sunset Mall, La Esperanza Clinic Incorporated, Amerigroup, Concho Valley Regional Food Bank, Chick-fil-A, and 211 Texas. Concho Valley County Medical Society will also have free bike helmets while supplies last. Sunset Mall will have a prize wheel with a chance to win school supplies, gift cards, and other prizes. For questions about the backpack giveaway, contact Norma Lee at La Esperanza Clinic, 325-949-7974. Goodfellow Air Force Base welcomes Colonel Ryleman as new commander, by John Tufts, published July 13th. Personnel at Goodfellow Air Force Base welcomed new 17th Training Wing Commander Colonel Matthew Ryleman and bid farewell to Colonel Andres Nazario during a change of command ceremony Tuesday. After officially taking command on July 13th, Ryleman saluted troops who marched along the parade field, a field Ryleman was familiar with, having been an intelligence student at Goodfellow from August 2000 to June 2001. Ryleman's career eventually took him to Washington, D.C., where he most recently served as the Director of Staff, Headquarters, U.S. Air Force, Deputy Chief of Staff for Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance, and Cyber Effects Operations at the Pentagon. Get to know Colonel Matthew Ryleman. A career intelligence officer, Ryleman commanded the 7th Intelligence Squadron at Fort Meade, Maryland, as well as numerous operational and staff assignments, ranging from the squadron to the combatant command level, a news release stated. Ryleman was responsible for interrogating over 400 airmen across six directorates supporting a 73,000-person ISR and cyber effects enterprise, with a portfolio of $72 billion across the Air Force, according to his biography. Ryleman is a qualified Title 10 Deputy Commander for Defense Support to Civil Authorities Operations and deployed to Columbia, South Carolina, in support of the South Carolina National Guard for Hurricane Florence relief efforts, according to his biography. In addition to Goodfellow, Ryleman has command responsibility for three geographically separated units in California, Arizona, and Florida, a biography states. He manages real estate property, equipment, supplies, and contracts in excess of $1.5 billion and has an annual operating budget exceeding $288 million. Ryleman also provides support to Army, Navy, and Marine Corps on-base units, as well as seven other partner organizations and Angelo State University's Air Force Reserve Officer Training Corps. Registered sex offender arrested after child reports multiple assaults in San Angelo, by Elena Edgen, published July 13th. A San Angelo man who has been a registered sex offender for more than a decade has been arrested a year after a child reported sexual abuse in 2020, according to court documents released Tuesday. On April 18, 2020, a child younger than 14 years old told investigators they had been at a San Angelo residence in their mother's room. A man came into the room and hugged and cuddled the child before unclothing them, according to an arrest affidavit. At one point, the man told the child to put a pillow over their face while sexually assaulting them, records state. The child said this was not the first time the man touched them inappropriately. Police arrested David Gene Wright, 40, on suspicion of aggravated sexual assault of a child on Friday. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $500,000 bond as of 11:30 a.m. Tuesday, according to online jail records. Wright has been a registered sex offender in Texas since he was sentenced to 9 years probation in 2006 for indecency with a six-year-old in Tarrant County. The Texas public sex offender registers him as a low risk. Note, the San Angelo Standard-Times uses the singular they-them when reporting child-related crimes to further protect the child's identity. Details emerge in San Angelo shooting death of Daniel Chandler. Two arrests in 2 weeks by Elena Edgen, published July 13th. 3 weeks have passed since a Winters man was found shot to death in a San Angelo motel. Since then, police have arrested two men and court documents reveal details on what led to the death of Daniel Dan Chandler. Chandler, who was found dead at 1:16 a.m. on June 28th, has been remembered as a kind friend by his friends and family, according to a statement issued by John Pirick, a longtime friend. Dan always pursued happiness and love and never held back his appreciation for friendship, the statement said. While the friends and family of Dan are deeply saddened by the events leading to and surrounding to his passing, we genuinely appreciate the diligence and commitment provided by San Angelo Police's criminal investigators. What happened to Daniel Chandler? In the early morning hours of June 28th, police arrived to a shooting at Inn of the Conchos, 2021 North Bryant Boulevard. In one of the rooms, officers found Chandler lying on the floor with gunshot wounds to his chest and abdomen, records state. Investigators noted Chandler's shirt was soaked in blood and numerous used cartridge cases were on the floor. Police interviewed several witnesses, one of whom was a woman who rented the room for the night. She said she told a 31-year-old man she would be staying there, and he and a 19-year-old man came by. Another man and a woman also arrived at the room, records state. The women told officers the older man told everyone to leave the room because he had some business he had to take care of. The older man said he had left the room to smoke before he heard muffled gunshots, according to the arrest affidavit. Investigators believe after the two women and man left the room, Chandler, his girlfriend, and another man entered the room. Chandler's girlfriend told officers they had gone to the motel to purchase some marijuana, according to court documents. When the couple entered the motel room, the 19-year-old closed the door and pulled out a gun. He told the couple to give him all their money in bags, records state. The 31-year-old also pulled out a gun, and Chandler attempted to draw a gun as well and was shot, according to the girlfriend. The younger man then grabbed the woman's bags and fled with the older man. Chandler's girlfriend tried to stop the bleeding, then ran to the office to call for emergency assistance, according to the affidavit. On July 5th, the San Angelo Police Department, Tom Green County Sheriff's Office, and Runnels County Sheriff's Office worked together to arrest a man they suspected in the shooting. They found him at the Shoppin' Basket, 610 Hutchins Avenue in Ballinger. Law enforcement arrested Cody Ray Salazar, 31, on suspicion of murder, in addition to going off bond for credit or debit card abuse, possession of marijuana, and evading arrest detention. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $1,012,000 bond as of 11 a.m. Monday, according to online jail records. In 2019, Salazar pleaded guilty to a hit-and-run crash in San Angelo, which left three passengers seriously injured. 391st District Court Judge Brad Goodwin sentenced him to 2 years in jail, according to online court records. Second person charged with murder shot at Lubbock police. On Monday, July 12th, police announced a second man had been charged in the case, according to a news release. Joshua Tyler Garcia, 19, turned himself into the Lubbock County Jail for aggravated assault against a public servant from Lubbock on July 8th. One day later, San Angelo police obtained a warrant for Garcia, charging him with murder. Garcia's court documents regarding the San Angelo homicide were unavailable as of 7:45 a.m. Tuesday, but documents detailing the Lubbock charge were released. On January 18th, Lubbock police arrived to a vehicle burglary call, which became a chase on 45th Street. Garcia was a passenger in the vehicle and shot at pursuing officers, records state. No officers were injured, but a patrol car was disabled. The vehicle with Garcia and an unknown driver was found abandoned on 36th Street, according to court documents. State Representative Darby authors legislation to support Texas retired teachers by John Tufts, published July 11th. State Representative Drew Darby, San Angelo, filed legislation Friday during a special session of the Texas legislature to increase benefits for Texas retired teachers. House Bill 120 would give retired teachers a cost of living adjustment, COLA, and House Bill 85, filed by State Representative Glenn Rogers, Grayford, would provide retired teachers with a one-time supplemental payment, or 13th check, according to July 9, 2021 news release. Texas Governor Greg Abbott added the 13th check as one of 11 priority items on the special session agenda. Texas's dedicated and deserving retired teachers should feel secure in their retirement benefits now more than ever, as basic expenses like health care continue to rise, stated Darby in the release. More than half of current teacher retirement system retirees have never received a COLA during their retirement. The legislature can and should increase benefits for Texas retired teachers to stabilize their take-home pay now and in the future, Darby stated. House Bill 120 was recently referred to the House Committee on Pensions, Investments, and Financial Services. House Bill 85 was voted unanimously out of the same committee on July 9th. For more information and to view a list of joint authors and co-authors, please visit the Texas Legislature online at capital.texas.gov. Representative Darby serves House District 72, which includes Koch, Concho, Glasscock, Howard, Irion, Reagan, Runnels, Sterling, and Tom Green counties. San Angelo teen finds her forever family thanks to adoption by local foster parents, by John Tufts, published July 11th. Home for Destiny Ellis Dearborn used to be an emergency shelter in Colorado. Then, at the age of 12, it became a series of beds, one at an aunt's house and another with a grandparent, bouncing from relative to relative until Destiny began living with a group of six other girls in the Texas foster care system. It's been 5 years, but the word home has at last taken on a new and more familiar, more permanent meaning. On Tuesday, July 6th, Kristen Ellis Dearborn and Stephanie Ellis Dearborn became Destiny's mother and father, officially adopting the 17-year-old into their family after spending 10 months as Destiny's foster parents. "It really feels good," Destiny said, smiling. "This is probably the most stable home I've lived in." How it all began. Stephanie and Kristen both teach band classes at Central High School. They became certified foster parents in August 2020, a decision the couple made together in January after one of their students was withdrawn from school abruptly by Child Protective Services. Stephanie said they discovered the child's parents had been arrested and the nearest location the child could be placed was in Coleman, Texas. If there are no available foster homes in San Angelo, children have to be sent out of town, Kristen said. More than 75% of Tom Green County children needing foster homes can't stay. In May 2021, there were 157 Tom Green County children listed in the foster care system, according to state data provided by the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. This means the total number of at-risk children in Tom Green County needing foster homes in May was more than the maximum number of people allowed at the top floor of the Cactus Hotel, 150 people, according to the local fire code. Out of those 157 children, there were 37, about 24%, who were able to find foster homes in or around San Angelo. More than 75% of Tom Green County children were transported out of the area, according to state data. Additionally, in May, there were 100 Tom Green County children who were placed outside the region as defined by DFPS. Region 9, of which Tom Green County is listed, includes the following counties: Andrews, Borden, Coke, Concho, Crane, Crockett, Dawson, Ector, Gaines, Glasscock, Howard, Irion, Kimball, Loving, Martin, Mason, McCulloch, Menard, Midland, Pecos, Reagan, Reeves, Schleicher, Sterling, Sutton, Terrell, Upton, Ward, and Winkler County, according to DFPS. We need foster homes badly in San Angelo, Stephanie said. It's heartbreaking. Kristen and Stephanie said the process of becoming certified foster parents normally takes about 6 months, and said they were assisted by a foster agency, A World for Children, which lists 14 locations around Texas. They helped us with paperwork and kept us up to date on training to be foster parents, Stephanie said, noting after they became certified, destiny came into their lives. We didn't get into this to adopt, Stephanie said. We really just wanted to foster teens and help them through the college process. Meeting Destiny, who was available for adoption after both her biological parents terminated their rights, changed Stephanie and Kristen's minds, who admitted being a little nervous at first. Kristen said they made sure Destiny was comfortable with the idea of going to a foster care home with the same-sex couple. We are a non-traditional couple. We met a few times before Destiny was placed with us, and it just really felt great, Stephanie said. Things get better. I didn't always believe that. After being adopted, Destiny said a weight had been lifted off her shoulders. Things get better. Everybody told me that things get better, and I didn't believe them. But here I am, she said. Both Stephanie and Kristen are happy Destiny gets to have a more normal life, being able to have friends, going out and having fun in a safe environment, and then getting to return home without fear of facing abuse or neglect. Before I met Stephanie and Kristen, I wasn't doing great in school, Destiny said. I was making bad choices. And then after I moved in with them and got comfortable, I realized I didn't have to act out. I could focus on myself. Kristen said Destiny's grades went from all F's to straight A's in the course of a year. She passed her Texas Star test. In a year, she completely turned it all around, Kristen said. At first, Destiny said she tried to play a musical instrument to be in the same class with her two mothers, but prefers to do cheerleading and tumbling instead. She hopes to make the central cheer team during her senior year. Destiny also has big dreams after graduating. I want to be a pediatrician, Destiny said, whose college tuition will be paid in full as part of being in the foster care system. Other benefits foster care children in Texas receive include educational vouchers for textbooks, as well as health insurance until they reach the age of 25. We haven't paid a dime out of our pockets for any of her medical needs, Stephanie said. There are several programs out there that will help her navigate school. Stephanie and Kristen hope other adults in Tom Green County consider becoming foster parents, To them, making a difference in the life of a child has been a rewarding and invaluable experience. It's worth it, Stephanie said. We're ordinary people, and we were able to make this huge impact on one kid. Anybody can do this. There are so many kids in our city that need to be adopted, that need homes. How to adopt or foster a child in Tom Green County. For more information on how to become foster parents or to learn how to adopt a child, visit the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services online, the Texas Adoption Resource page. To provide other assistance to children living in foster care, consider reaching out to the Concho Valley Home for Girls, which can be visited online at conchokids.org. Recent rains bring influx of mosquitoes to San Angelo. Here's how the city gets rid of them. By John Tufts, published July 9th. While heavy rains delivered much-needed relief to San Angelo over the past 2 weeks, recent precipitation has brought something else, mosquitoes. Rain usually brings out our little flying friends, especially during the summertime, said Patrick French, Assistant Director of Operations for San Angelo. French said the city has several measures to eradicate mosquitoes, whose itchy bites can be more than a nuisance. Some mosquitoes spread viruses that can cause disease, like dengue, Zika, and West Nile. In the continental United States, West Nile virus is the leading cause of mosquito-borne disease, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. There are no vaccines to prevent or medications to treat West Nile virus, according to the CDC. While most people infected with the virus do not feel sick, about 1 in 5 people who are infected develop a fever and other symptoms. About 1 out of 150 infected people develop a serious, sometimes fatal illness, according to the CDC. How San Angelo battles its mosquitoes. Mosquitoes lay their eggs on or around surfaces of water. To eradicate them, French said city crews will use a special larvicide at San Angelo's standing waterways, such as the Red Arroyo. It kills the larva before they can become actual adult mosquitoes, French said. He noted special precautions were taken not to use the larvicide around sources of city drinking water. Froetz said the larvicide was harmful to mosquitoes only, not pets. In addition to larvicide, work crews from San Angelo's Street and Bridge Department spray areas of the city where mosquito populations have grown. 7 days a week, beginning in the spring, from 4 to 7 a.m. and again from 7 to 11 p.m. when mosquitoes are most active, city crews drive up and down the streets of San Angelo spraying a chemical mist. Officials said the spray kills mosquitoes within about 30 minutes of contact. We do this twice a day whenever the temperature consistently reaches 50 degrees and we focus anywhere there is a drain, said Treg Marcelot, crew leader for vector control pesticide applications for the city. Marcellus said crews focus spraying around neighborhoods and the spray used targets certain species of mosquitoes, gnats, flies, and horseflies. Formulas nowadays can target specific species. It's not harmful to humans. It's not harmful to animals, amphibians, fish, or anything like that. It's perfectly safe, Marcellus said. What you can do to help reduce mosquitoes in San Angelo. To help reduce the mosquito population in San Angelo, officials recommend people eliminate places where mosquitoes can breed, such as tall grass and areas with standing water. Mosquitoes don't have a large travel area. They generally stay in the same spot they breed from, Froetz said. During the day, they like to go hide in that tall grass or in potted plants. The CDC recommends homeowners take care of items that hold water, like tires, buckets, planters, toys, pools, bird baths, flower pot saucers, and trash containers, which should be emptied and scrubbed, turned over, covered, or thrown away. Standing water in gutters is a big one that a lot of people miss, Frerich said. If homeowners can take these precautions, eliminate standing water, keep the grass mowed down, and keep the weeds mowed down, that'll be their best prevention method for keeping mosquitoes out of the area. Need more help with mosquitoes in San Angelo? Call this number. San Angelo residents who see an influx of mosquitoes in their neighborhood can call the city's street and bridge department and request their area get sprayed. We try to have two spray units working per shift, stated Joey Anderson, street and bridge superintendent, in an email to the Standard Times. San Angelo residents can call 325-657-4231. The street and bridge department office is open 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Anderson said residents can leave a message on the answering machine after 3:30 p.m. detailing where mosquitoes have become a nuisance. Court documents reveal final moments before death of man near San Angelo Bar, by Elena Edgen, published July 12th. Court documents released Wednesday have revealed the final moments leading to the June assault and death of Jason Garavay, 41, in San Angelo. On June 19th, police responded to a suspected stabbing victim at Shannon Medical Center. Officers noted Garavay had multiple injuries to his face and head, and this was an assault, not a stabbing, records state. Investigators learned the assault happened at the Penny Tap House parking lot at 2412 College Hills Boulevard. Witnesses and surveillance videos showed how the assault began and ended, according to the affidavit. Videos from inside the bar showed an escalating issue between Garavay and another man, which continued as they left the bar with others. Garavay was knocked to the ground, records state, where the man stomped on his face multiple times. Witnesses told investigators the man left the area in a vehicle with another person. One of the involved individuals took Garavay to Shannon Medical Center, according to the affidavit. While police investigated, Garavay went into cardiac arrest and was without oxygenated blood to his brain for about 10 minutes. Hospital staff resuscitated him, but Garavay later died on June 28th, according to court documents. Police announced a search for an armed and dangerous suspect in connection to the case on July 2nd. The suspect, identified as Jose Joe Angel Trevino, 38, was arrested later that day in Baytown near Houston. One dead, another injured in San Angelo shootout. Here's what police say happened. By John Tufts and Elena Edgen. Published July 8th. One man has died and another was injured after a shooting in North San Angelo Wednesday afternoon, according to a police news release. About 4:18 p.m. Wednesday, July 7th, police arrived at a home in the 900 block of Volney Street and found a 21-year-old man with a gunshot wound. Shortly after, police learned a second man, Adarian Madlock, 23, was at a hospital with injuries related to the same shooting. Madlock was taken to the hospital by a private vehicle and later died at the hospital. He was pronounced deceased by Judge Eddie Howard, Justice of the Peace for Precinct 4, record state. The other man is in stable condition, according to the release. The initial investigation revealed a shootout between two parties who knew each other, the release stated. On Thursday, Tina Burks, public information officer for San Angelo Police Department, said the investigation is ongoing. We have multiple detectives on the case actively working right now, and they are trying to gather suspect information and proceed with the investigation, Burke said in a prior interview. Meet the loggerhead shrike, or butcher bird, that pounces on and impales its victims on spikes. By Michael Price, special to the Standard Times, published July 11th. To us civilized mammals, some animal behavior can sometimes be construed as downright gruesome. there are behaviors that have been observed by animals in which even the most avid naturalist has been left to scratch his or her head. One example is of a robin-sized bird whose behavior has made such an impression that it is often referred to locally as the butcher bird, although the real name is the loggerhead shrike. The loggerhead shrike is a moderately sized species of carnivorous bird whose natural range year-round includes the majority of the southern United States, including the entire state of Texas, save the very southern portions of the valley. There, it can be observed during the winter months only. During the summer months, this species can also be seen in the upper Midwest. Description: adult loggerhead shrikes can typically be described as having an overall bluish-gray hue to its upper parts, while the underparts are a bit lighter in coloration. The large head is a capped gray as well, but there is a distinctive black eye stripe that makes the bird appear to be wearing a black mask. The beak is also black and is markedly hooked. The wings are black and have a singular white patch per wing. The long and slender tail is colored like the wings. Mature specimens average around 9 inches in height, with a wingspan of roughly 13 inches. Nesting activity. Like many carnivorous species of birds, this variety leads a solitary life, except during the breeding season, when it will monogamously pair up. The female does much of the nest building, making her cup-shaped nest out of small branches, grasses, and feathers. This nest is usually constructed less than 20 feet above the ground in bushes or trees. The female will lay and incubate one or two clutches of 4 to 7 eggs annually, and each clutch of the 1-inch long, brown mottled gray eggs takes just over 2 weeks to hatch. The female is also the primary caregiver, although the male will also occasionally feed the young during their 3-week stay in the nest. The youngsters are colored similarly to the adults, except they typically have indistinct brown barring on the underparts. Carnivorous behavior. As previously mentioned, the loggerhead shrike is a carnivore in the strictest meaning of the word. Insects, arachnids, amphibians, reptiles, small rodents, and even juveniles of other bird species are preyed upon. Shrikes will often position themselves on utility poles, power lines, fence posts, and barbed wire fences to watch for potential prey with its keen eyes. Once a prey item is located, it will proceed to pounce on the food item using its sharp claws and beak to immobilize the victim. What happens next is a behavior that would make Vlad the Impaler cringe. The prey item is carried off and is impaled on a sharp object, such as a cactus needle or, more frequently, a barbed wire fence. However, unlike Vlad, this behavior is not carried out as revenge. Researchers speculate that this habit may be to soften the food item for later consumption. It may serve as a reminder to the bird of productive past hunting grounds, and or may just be a way to mark its territory from other shrikes. Whatever the reasoning, the behavior has provided this species with the name of butcher bird. The loggerhead shrike is a fairly common bird whose population numbers appear to be down only in areas of the upper Midwest. Look for this species in open areas with barbed wire fencing where it can utilize its keen eyes to locate prey and where it can show off its prizes in the gruesome way that it does. And now here's Allison Watkins' column. Planting peaches in the Concho Valley requires careful preparation. Follow these steps. Published July 11th. Peaches are in season, and fresh ripe fruit is so delicious in the summer. And even better is homegrown fruit. Now is not the time to plant peach trees, but if you're enjoying them right now and would like to grow some in your own yard, plan for planting in the fall, winter, or spring. Container-grown fruit trees can be planted at any time of the year, but summer is tough on them, and they struggle to adapt, so fall through spring is the time to aim for. Bare root fruit trees are less expensive, but can only be planted in the dormant winter season and require extra care and skill in planting to be successful. Peaches, plums, apricots, apples, pears, figs, pomegranates, and persimmons can all grow and be productive in the Concho Valley with careful site preparation and management. Most fruit trees prefer well-drained soil. If the ground is heavy and has poor drainage, build up a berm or raised bed to improve it. Don't plant fruit trees in low spots where water ponds after rainfall. To test drainage before planting, dig a 1 foot deep hole and fill with water. If there's still water after 24 hours, the drainage is too poor for fruit trees like peaches. After planting, keep the ground around fruit trees weed-free with a deep layer of organic wood mulch. Research has shown that mulch helps trees grow faster, and it also helps conserve water. Variety selection is an important factor for any type of plant, but especially for fruit because of chilling hour requirements. Visit the website https://tomgreen.agrilife.org/horticulture to download a list of recommended fruit and nut varieties for the Concho Valley. Each type of fruit tree will have recommendations on care and maintenance. For example, stone fruits like peaches produce best with an open center pruning style, regular fertilization and irrigation through the growing season, and thinning of the crop early in the season. Peaches are susceptible to several insect and disease pests, so careful monitoring is important. For more details on growing peaches and other fruit trees, visit https://agri-horticulture.tamu.edu/fruit-nut. Join us on Friday, July 30th for a workshop on peaches, planting, growing, canning, and preserving. The program will be held at the Tom Green 4-H Center from 1 to 5 p.m. and costs $30 to attend. Pre-registration is required. For info and to sign up, visit https://tomgreen.agrilife.org or call the Extension Office at 325-659-6522. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.